Welcome to Laughing Monkey Music Show. We have Angry Anderson. How are you?
Good, good, good. In fact, regardless of what you may have heard, I love saying that, right? Because it's like, do you know, remember, I can't remember who's responsible for the saying, but I love it. You know, like the rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. You know, remember that one? You know,
I don't know who said that.
I fucking love that because, like, at 76, it's kind of like, and there's so many, unfortunately, I mean, you know, there's so many. Every now and again on FaceFart, there comes up a list of people we've lost last year or this year. And it's always towards the end of the year or in the first few days of the new year. So it's been very topical in recent days. And the amount of people that we lost in 23 was just so saddening. But then again, what it demonstrates and what it illustrates all too vividly, and quite rightfully so, is that nothing lasts forever. And I think once upon a time, when we one of our earlier conversations, I think we were talking about sort of like personal losses, etc. And I said George Harrison put it so beautifully, eloquently, you know, all things must pass. And which I love that album anyway. I mean, I love anything any of the Beatles did and the Beatles. So I love that interview just recently I saw with Ringo Starr. And he said, in 8 years, they did so many albums. And he credited Paul McCartney as being the driving energy behind that because he said he loved writing and he loved the studio and he loved. And he said, whether he said, I don't think his motivation, Starkey said this, so Ringo said this. He said, I don't think Paul's motivation was to create history or posterity for posterity. But he said, what we re he said, what I'm realized now, he said, because I'm lazy. And he said, John was lazy. And he said, and Paul was this sort of obsessive driving force of creativity, but also of product creating, you know, like having this, he said, like, you know, words to the effect that they wrote far more songs or had ideas than they ever got into song form, and some of them those ideas are coming out now. But well, anyway, getting back to the point, what he was making the point, which is really relevant to me at the time, because like 26, that's the finish of the task because it's 50 years. And you know, dealing with medical sort of issues this year. So there's these different components, if you like, to remind me constantly of all things must pass, of the passing of time. And the relevance of your history for a start, but also the relevance, more importantly, of living in the moment and living for the day and doing what you can now, you know, to make a difference or to create or bring into being something. And it can be like songs, like in the Lennon McCartney Harrison Starkey sort of situation, or any band for that matter, but also in the relevance that the individual needs to understand and appreciate in the simplicity of what they would normally maybe sort of think, well, you know, I don't live, you know, compared to David Bowie, I live a pretty boring existence. Well, I wouldn't say boring. That's not a word I would choose, but I would say David Bowie was an extravagant manifestation of how extravagant a life can be, right? So Jimi Hendrix was, you know, to all the greats that have passed on. But so, I mean, when you look at some of our historic figures and the contribution they've made, you know, politicians and whatever, I'm just reminded by, because a couple of weeks ago, I went and saw Napoleon and which is a fantastic movie. And
I saw him too. I saw it too.
having read a lot about Napoleon over the years, because as you know, as we've discussed before, I'm fascinated by history, and a lot of our history is contained within what we call the European continent, if you like, or the continent of Europe. But also, it happened there, but also, with people moving out of Europe and discovering the Americas, the Australia, like moving out from there to find the new world, to create our history. Anyway, I'm just reminded of
Mortality,
constantly the of these days.
immortality.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like when earlier on in, well, in the middle of last year, when my medical issues came to a cruciality, if you like, or like, well, we've got to deal with this now. So there was no ifs and or buts. There's no putting it off, right? So, because did I tell you that the not the Christmas we've just had, but the one before, and that was when I first was hospitalized for
No.
So it was Christmas Day. My kids arrive, and anyway, my daughter, who's when I say my staunchest ally, she's the leader of the pack. She's the eldest, but so anyway, she comes and she sits down, and she's looking at me to like just, when one of your children is intently observing you, not just
Yeah.
engaged in conversation, but she gets this expression in her eyes, like, well, she's watching me,
She was in mama bear mode.
She's what?
She was in mother bear mode. Like, no.
Absolutely, yeah, bingo. And anyway, and, she, and I said, and I recognized this, and I said, what's up? What do you mean? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you're watching me with that look. And she just laughed, and she said, Dad, you look like shit. And I said,
The time.
fucking thanks a fucking lot, like Christmas Day, can we be pleasant? And she said, no, Dad, you don't look well. And I said, yeah, well, I've been having a few issues, like I'm Matt, fatigue and a few other things. And she said, yeah. She said, well, anyway, a bit later, I got a really bad headache, and I thought it was, this muscular thing that I've got to deal with as a result of a motorcycle crash. But having said that, that was years ago, and I still deal with it now. So anyway, I go and have a lay down. I come back, and she said, "Jesus, you look worse." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Something's wrong with your face." And she said, "We're really, really worried, and we've decided we're going to take you to hospital." And I went, because I've looked at her and the other kids, and I go, "Oh, well, have we, like decided?" So anyway, off to hospital, and they admit me. So 4 days of intensive tests and, blah, blah, blah. And they find out that I've got a clogged artery in my neck. And anyway, they said, we're going to have to monitor this. We've got you on medication. They think I had a mini stroke. And they said, we're going to monitor this over the next 6 to 8 to 12 weeks. There's 3 levels of medication. And so the 12 weeks were up. And then I went back, and they said, we're happy with this result. We're happy with that result. You've got to go and have more tests. Anyway, long story short, around about, and it was a struggle working in with the band, even though it was only 2 nights a week, Friday and Saturday. That's basically what we do here now. The touring days are over. And it was a struggle. I was coming home, and I was exhausted, and I thought, this thing, oh, it's just age, you put everything, when you get to a certain age, you can put
I mean, in
everything
all
in a,
fairness, you are in your 70s, so I mean,
well, there you
so.
go. See, so yeah, thank you very much. So anyway, yeah, I just had to deal with these. I had bleeding ulcerations in my colon and my stomach lining, which was causing anemia. They had no blood count to talk of, deplete of iron, blah, blah, blah. So that explained the exhaustion. Couldn't even walk the dogs, you know. I was
Wow.
just couldn't walk up there. I live in a quite hilly area, and yeah, I was struggling. I just couldn't. So that explained that. They found, when they did checkup scans, they found a shadow, they call it a shadow, behind my heart, which they needed to go in and put a camera. So they go in through
Yeah.
your wrist, and they
Cool.
put all this dye and shit in you and that, and then they go in with this camera and they have a look at it. Anyway, they found out that it was a blockage to a valve, which they were able to ascertain that it wasn't serious. Okay, we could deal with it with medication. But the other thing was this, I've got this huge scar that goes from here to just the top of my chest. There was a blocked artery. And they said, well, we're going to have to put a stent in there. So, but we had to get rid of the other procedures first.
Oh, okay.
So I was stable enough to have this, you know, because it was fairly major surgery. Anyway, when they got in there, they decided, he did warn me. He said, if we get in there and it's bad, we may have to take it out. And it may affect your vocal cords. And there's, you know, there's a 20% chance that you may have a stroke because of it. And, you know, but I said, well, yeah, really. So this is all the good news. So I said, how about fuck it? You know, like, how about we don't do it? And he said, well, you don't really have an option, because if you don't, you will have a heart attack because of the clot, or you'll have a stroke. And he said, and if you have a stroke, you might end up being a vegetable.
And you can't
But
say
you
good
will
anyhow,
be.
so your odds are better to save.
So he said, you know, you've got odds that you are on your side. So I went and had the surgery since, and so we lost the second half of our work calendar for last year was. And we still don't know if the vocal cords are going to be 100% to what they were. Like he said to me late last year, I had my last appointment, and he said, your speaking voice sounds exactly the same. He said, so
Yeah.
that's very encouraging, but it's not a guarantee. So we're gonna start doing some demos soon. So that's going to be interesting to see if it's changed at all.
Have you sang at all since then? Like tried it to and worked
Oh,
it?
just around, you know, like just around to the sound system. But he said, don't push it. Give it as much time to
Heal.
heal as possible, you know. Like there
Wow.
was nerve damage, and which has all got to do with the whole thing. And it's still now, like when I shave around the scar, like this side of the scar or that side of the scar, and down to this part of my throat, there's no feeling there. And he said
Cool.
that may come back once the nerves find one another and reconnect. But if they don't, then it'll be, he said, you just have to be careful shaving, you know. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting to find out. The only thing that I'm worried about is that he said he had no idea who I was or what I did, and his receptionist enlightened him to what I
Yeah.
did or who I was, so to speak. And he said, you know, like she said, gee, you know, like I understand now your style of singing. He said, how long do you work? I said, well, we only work, you know, unless we do Europe, we work 5 or 6 nights a week for 6 weeks. And he said, well, the only thing I'm concerned about is endurance. But the only way we can find that out is to have a go. So, interesting, isn't it?
Well, first off, I'm glad you're better because when I heard you weren't feeling as concerned as a lot of people are, you can't push it. I think you
Thank
should
you.
start off slow. And well, I'm happy you're doing good, and thank you for sharing. I mean, it's one person that could have a scar, scarred for life, and actually have a scar. I
He
mean, you
said to
own that.
me, he said, it's so funny you should say that, because he said to me, he said, I'm very good at stitching, so there won't be any scar. I said, mate, I don't mind scars. I said, chicks love fucking scars, doc.
Yeah.
And he went, Oh, yeah, okay. And I went, I'm just kidding. I'm 76 years old. It's not that I haven't lost interest. What a sort of, like you've got to make light of these things because, I mean, otherwise you get too serious about it. I mean, okay, it's like knowing someone, and one of my best mates who's one of the closest human beings, male, that in my life has ever been. He was with me in all the, he started off working in the crew, and then he ended up being our driver, because he's a very competent driver, because he spent all his younger years stealing cars. And
A good resume piece.
he ended up being my minder, because in those early turbulent years,
Handful.
I needed a minder, so. And he was a very, very capable guy, right? Physically capable guy. And he's dealing with some years ago, about 3 years ago, he was diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer, and he's going through, he's spent the last few years going through chemo, and just dealing with cancer, and it's moving around, and it's difficult to love somebody so much, and to be a bystander, to only be, I mean, let's not devalue, and folks should be self-reminding of this, the value of being support people for people that are in trouble. And and because you feel sort of like helpless, obviously, and you feel inadequate because these people have a struggle and an issue to deal with, that we that have never done had to deal with cancer, we'll never know. I mean, I can't possibly imagine what goes through or has gone through his mind over the last 3 years, because like they're going to have treatment, and then they go, oh, all the tumors have shrunk, or they've disappeared, or things are looking good. And then 3 months or 4, 5, 6 months later, they go for a checkup, and oh, there's more tumors, and so it's kind of like,
You never know what to
I don't
say
know
or
what
go
that.
with it.
Yeah, and that's why I allude to, the importance and the value of support. When people, I mean, years ago, when we like, because it's been like 5 years since we lost Liam, and when people, and it was remarkable, how many people started the conversation that they wanted to have with you with, like, I'm so sorry, there are no words. And I used to cut them off there and say, look, it's okay, because no, there aren't. There aren't any words to be able to say to me or to one of his siblings that's going to make any difference. I said that, and I would grab the person who was saying this, and I would pull them in and hug them, and I'd say, but you don't realize how valuable you are just being there. Like,
That's
and
pretty
these are
awesome to hear.
people that, who are close, and relatives, and best friends, and even people that strangers I met in the street. I mean, obviously, when we went back to work, there was dozens and dozens, hundreds over the first couple of years of opportunities for people that came, that follow the band, to be able to express that. And then I used to say, you just have to know the value of what it is that you're there, you support, you're part of our, in other words, I mean, without getting too sort of, mung beans and hippie about it, but like, just
We
send
always do though.
vibes.
No, but
Yeah, we do. Yeah, just send vibes, because that's healing.
let me. But here's something that I never know, and because when I when we first started talking, you shared with me, I didn't know what to say. So I feel like you want to acknowledge things, but then again, I'm the kind of person, sometimes maybe I wouldn't want to have to talk about it to somebody, not because I'm ignoring it, just because I want to break from it. So I never know when you first see that person and something's happened, do you approach it or do you and pretend it's not a big thing to you? Like, that big thing, but so you don't do it and they think, geez, you don't even care. Or are they thinking, thank God I got a break? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just feel like there's two roads and one of them's going to be the wrong door. And if you go to safely, you can say, I'm sorry. But also, you can put them in a spot where they're like having a day where they're just having a complete day without that struggle for once in a while. And you put them back in that tailspin again.
Bingo. Yeah. And that's, I've tried to write about that in the book too. But I tell you, one of the things that I think is fabulous. And it happened with people that were some of the closest people in my life, with one or two of them. But it happened with perfect strangers, Sean. And this was the beautiful thing about it. I remember, and well, it took me a couple of weeks before I'd even leave the house, right, after it happened. And it was probably a month after I decided. I thought, well, I can't, the cupboards are getting depleted of all canned food. I've got to go shopping. And people were shopping for us. Anyway, having said that, so I go down to the supermarket, and there was this lady, and I'd said, been saying, talking to her and saying hello to her for years. Right? She works in the supermarket. And she saw me come in. She was working the register on this particular day. And she got someone to come and fill in for her. And she came looking for me in the aisles. And all she did was she walked up to me and she put her arms around me and hugged me. This is a rather large Maori woman, and just kissed me on the top of the head and squeezed me, like, to, because she's a big lady, squeezed me really tight and held onto me for enough seconds for me to say, like, this is real, And then she just turned around, tears in her eyes, and walked away.
I think that's the best thing I've ever heard. Like,
And I just thought, people don't realize the power of physical contact. I mean,
but you were open for it. Somebody like also not in a space might freak out over that and be like, you just totally, I already, my world's already crashed in. Now you're invading where the walls emotionally are down. It's too much. You just never know. Some people don't like being touched. You know what I mean?
I've had the same. I've had the same experience myself, when I've known that someone's dear one has passed, and it'll be months later, and I'll run into them, and I took a lesson from that wonderful woman, and I just go and hug them.
I think I'm going to do that. I mean, my best thing over my whole life when I
Can't
said
get into
literally,
trouble that way.
no, you nowadays, no, you can hug and touch all kinds of people, women. There's no problems with that. I'm going to sound angry, said it's okay. Take it with a grain of salt. No, but I
Anyway,
think like
why don't we
all,
talk about
I don't know.
something
Good.
musical?
Well, there we go. But anyway, people also, cancer serious. Everybody get checked. Get your checkups, please. Do all your checkups. I'm actually going for a health check in 2 weeks. Get your checkups, people, please. Life is short.
Excellent, Short. Thank you so much for doing that, because I've gone back to being, right, there's nothing like a real experience to make you a devotee, right? To the point where it's like, where you're kind of annoying, so you've got to kind of pull back on the energy level. But when you get on a bicycle or a rowing machine or whatever, and you set it so you get 30 seconds rest, and then there's 60 seconds of high intensity, you've got to keep the rate up. Your heart's going like a fucking, like a steam engine, like he said. Yeah, get into that shit.
It's,
And
I, I'm guilty of that, and I'm not doing any of that. I try keeping right above enough activity so it doesn't look like I'm in a coma, so nobody thinks me in the hospital. And the only way you're going to see me running is if there's a police car or like a lion or a tiger behind me chasing me, something like that. There is like, and I
there's a
promise you, there's
merry
even worse to me. You know what I'm saying? Even more so.
Do you, this could be a conversation for another time, but okay,
Not
you
much, not
bring
much,
up
hurry.
that war. You bring up that war. There was a war that was nearly started in Australia many, many years ago. And the reason that I chose Southern Stars as a title for our gigs last year, and we've rescheduled some of those gigs, well, most of those gigs, 98% of them, to continue. So this, when we go back to work, it's to pick up from where we left
You're
off.
right.
Because there was a moment in Australian history which is based around, and we've talked about this before, which is based around a revolution that took place down in the goldfields of Victoria. And the first stand, the only time that Australians took a stand against the oppression of England, was at a place called the Eureka Stockade. And there was only hundreds of miners, but there wasn't just miners, there was people, because it really was the reason that they stamped it out so violently and so, you know, so they just butchered people for weeks, if not months, after it happened. Because they wanted to, because it was, it's actually, it was the beginning of Australia's
Independence. It was
War of
the first,
Independence.
I think it
And
stands
they,
for, you know, that I agree with you.
they'd
I mean, I think
learnt, well, the thing about it is that they'd learnt their lesson from America. They learnt that when a militia, so to speak, says, like, wait a minute, pardon me, if you are governing us well, we might be able to argue, say, in the, on the floor of Parliament, you know, for the case for our independence.
right.
But when it's a repressive, right, and there's no doubt about it, that in both cases there was a repressive military or militarized force to suppress the growing nation. So it's kind of like you give birth to something, or you help give birth to something, and then you don't want it to grow to its full potential, so you try to contain it. That's the way I've looked at the War of Independence in America and other places, like through Europe. Certainly in Australia, I mean, what they were stamping out was the spirit of what we're trying to fight ideologically now around the world, is to retain the spirit of freedom, of a man's right to personal freedom. So, not to be governed by censorship of what we can think or what we can say. And that's what happened at Eureka. And that's the reason that we wrote that album, the Southern Stars album. And the spirit behind it was, it's like on Blood Brothers, is that the track 1854, and because that's the year it happened. Eureka Stockade. But the reason that they repressed that movement so violently was because they couldn't have the spark, as happened in America. Someone lit the flame. I love
Yeah.
that terminology. I love that romanticism. Lit the flame of freedom. And up until some years ago, getting back to my opening statement, if you like, or view, is that somewhere along the line, we Western countries that used to, they used to believe so fervently in that right of every man, we allowed the media, the things that we, that educated us or swayed our opinion, like film, books, television, obviously, when it arrived. We've allowed that to diminish us as people. And I think what's happening around the world now is that people are starting to wake, hopefully, God, I hope so, starting to wake up. Now, wait a minute. That
I think
doesn't
the world,
feel good.
I think the world's on fire. Just enjoy the time you have, because I think the world's on
What are
fire.
you think? Talk about fire.
And the whole world
Talk.
with everything. Listen, I'll say this, and then we'll get too sidetracked. the irony of the world of, fighting for the rights, because they shouldn't be oppressed. I mean, Britain took over everybody for a while, and they shouldn't been oppressed, and standing up was good, and the Americans shouldn't be oppressed. They should be good. But how did everybody get there? They weren't the first people. The Europeans kind of pushed themselves into every country to begin with. First people, there was Amer Native American Indians, there were Aborigines. It wasn't their country to begin with. They were over, everyone else was in Europe. And they kind of came in. It wasn't, everyone else's freedom wasn't being thought of at the time, like collectively, like, hey, let's grow together as a society. Like, Europeans kind of pushed themselves into everywhere and said, we should have some freedom. Not saying anything about the other people behind them. It was slow. The people that were actually from that country that had the rights, you know what I'm saying? Which is kind of ironic to me, sadly. You know what I mean?
Okay, playing the devil's advocate, historically speaking, and I remember watching a doco years ago about the breakup of the land masses. Right. Now, at one stage, there was a land mass.
Yes.
And then that was millions of years ago. And because of ice ages and because of volcanic blah, 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 certain cracks appeared, which I think is what's happening today. Now, whether it's caused by HAARP or whether it's caused by natural progression, it's happening. And it's changing the climate. Yes, it is. And it's also changing the physical face. Have a look at what's happening in Japan. Have a look at what happened in Turkey 10 years ago or whatever. And there
Yeah.
were hundreds of thousands of people died.
Well,
Anyway, having
Japan's
said
literally
that,
on a plate. Japan's literally on a tectonic plate. So I mean,
bingo.
it's gonna keep grinding. It gets worse. It's only gonna get
Bingo.
worse.
Bingo. So go back to that time, and there was people used land bridges to go from one place
Right.
because there weren't countries in those days, right? So roaming tribes moved into, and they moved into this lush valley, right? Now you got to remember that in those times there weren't as many primates.
Right.
Or ancestors of ours roaming around anyway, right? Hundreds of thousands, maybe a million worldwide. They don't know, but they're just assuming, you know, like they're putting a composite picture together. So to if you move, if you came across, and this, you know, this is a hypothetical situation. If you came across a valley, you looked down on this valley and said, "Well, fuck, have a look at it. There's water there. There's lots of trees. We can actually see animals moving. So there's food." So you go down into the valley, and all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute, there's somebody else here.
Yeah.
So there's two options. You either join together or you push them out. Oh, well, there's three options. You can push them out, tell them to fuck off, because there's more of us.
Right.
And we come for this other region, and we've got these things called sticks. And if I
Yeah.
hit you with this stick, you're not going to like it. You know? Or you just get rid of them. And that's been the way. I'm not justifying
No.
what you say about
No,
the
I'm
era.
not.
I'm just trying to understand. You know what happened and why it happened, and it there's definitely been wrongs and rights about it. I think I mean, I've read, when I say extensively, I mean I remember years and years ago I was fascinated by South America because of the Toltecs and the Olmecs and you know the ancient civilizations that. And they all grew up kind of not related to one another, but they had a relationship. They bumped into one another and they went, "Righto, well, that side of the river's yours and we won't go over
Right.
there." And but they there was raiding and they took women and children and you know they took people for sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. So it was a whole lot of cultural civilizations, if you like, in South America. And then this unbelievable force came out of nowhere, sailing, you know, it would have been the equivalent of UFOs, coming by sea. And they had these, you know, swords and muskets and
Boomsticks, yeah, really.
6 years. And all of a sudden, the country that we'd lived in and raised these temples, well, maybe they didn't raise the temples, but that's another story. But yeah, see, it gets back to, I suppose, what I'm trying to say is that what trying to dispassionately, which is, of course, a contradiction in terms, but trying to look at why did this happen? How did this happen? And it's all too glib to say, well, it's just, that's the progression, right? It's just what happens. But it is just what happens. And the thing, it's like when the Australian Aboriginals here say, we want this part of this country back because it's ours. You go, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. Ours is ownership. I don't even think the present population of westernized people that we call Australians own Australia. I don't think, in the romantic sense, anyone owns something that's is immense. It's not just the physical size, it's the immensity of the spiritual connection that we should have with creation. Like, in other words, like rain, there's a movement coming out of Klaus Schwab's fucking camp that we should take ownership of all the water, right? And you people shouldn't have, even though we pay for our access to water, they're going to restrict it even more, right? That's the new thing that's coming out of this Schwab camp.
I haven't heard that yet.
And
There's so much out there.
that. So they're going to, when they say privatize, they are going to govern the distribution of water. You're going to wait. Au contraire, it's a gift from God, right? And I'm not saying, God, the
No, no,
Christianity,
thanks. Right, I know
yeah,
you're saying.
the creational process. So, in the same way that you can't own the rain, you can't own the land, you occupy it. That's my view. And I think what happens is, without the Europeans moving into what we now call the Americas, without them moving into Australia, there would have, if it hadn't been predominantly the British first, and then this mass migration from Europe, which happened here on a
Well,
much.
France had half of Australia too for a while, and then Sweden was trying too, I think, didn't they? It was like France, Sweden, and Britain
Well,
all had half of
half
Australia at the beginning, though. I think that's how it first started.
before they even got here, and they'd sort of drawn a line down the centre of Australia, or what they imagined Australia was from the fragments that they'd mapped, like the and it was called New Holland historically, because one of their first explorers to come to get off the boat onto the land was a Dutchman. And in fact, Tasmania, which is our island state, for many, 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 many years was called Van Diemen's Land, after a Dutchman, Van Diemen, who explored it. And this is, I'm generalizing here, but it was called Van Diemen's Land. And then it became Tasman, because a Tasman mapped it. And realized that it wasn't joined to Australia, and blah blah blah, whatever. That's again generalizing, but yeah, I don't, I mean, the brutality of occupation is historic, and it's happened in small pockets, like when a tribe has discovered, there's an ongoing debate about the Maori people when they first got to one of the islands, which that we know as New Zealand. I mean, there's a North Island and a South Island, and they got to the island that they predominantly populated first, and then they moved to the second island, and there was a people that were already living there. Now all of a sudden they just disappeared, and people are going, well, what happened to them? Now the old joke was, well, we ate them, because the early Maoris were purported to be cannibals. Now that was that's historically sort of, you know, that's not the whole story, no. No.
It's a
But
good
what I'm
story.
saying, well, it, you know, they used to get
I
a
get
laugh
it, but
out of it.
it's a deep slot because, I mean, you can't give back people generations that have been there. You can't give everything back because life has gone on too much. But at the same time, when
Yes.
you say, but like Australia was, everybody got the property. A lot of people in Australia initially got there by being squatters. That's where squatter came from. You know, by being squatters long enough, the government gave them property because they were squatting. So the
Yep.
way that property was even doled out in Australia was different. Whereas in America, we just kind of took flags and stuck it there and moved tribes and children and off the lands. You know, but at the same time, I
Well,
mean,
that happens here
you could
too,
say,
Sean.
right. So I'm saying you can't say like, well, I mean, I think the land is for everybody. You can't give it back to them, but you can because are you going to have anybody's going to knock on your door and you got 20 people living in your house all of a sudden? You're like, no, it's my
No.
property. It's my land. There is a fine line where people like to draw lines and it's a mess.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
there's no good way. It sucks for everybody involved, is what I'm saying. I mean, it just,
Yeah.
basically, I was just getting the irony of saying one group of people, and I can talk from my own country, saying, we need freedom. But we're also going to push these people that you literally took all their good resources and moved them to a bad spot. We're going to tell you we want freedom. At the same time, we're going to treat somebody else less than us. There's a horrible irony there, you know, when it's always happened.
We just had, you'd be aware of the Yes No campaign, and it was a resounding victory. This obscenity that's happening in America about the war on beekeepers and honey, the war on people who produce raw milk, people who are growing
Seeds, GMO, the seeds are the worst.
all
Farmers,
that. I mean,
seeds blow, grow, a genetic seed blows into a farmer's land and they get sued because it was you know, a copyright on a seed or something. And they're like, I didn't buy it, it blew into my land. Like, and they get in trouble for it. How do you
yeah,
protect from
but
that?
that was planned, Sean.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I'm saying that's just insanity to me. That's insanity.
I saw this thing on Google Tube the other day about these people who were growing food, and the agents came in the middle of the night with machines to plow up their food, acres and acres and acres of supposedly organic grown food.
The world's on fire, angry. The world's on fire. That's what I'm saying. That just makes no
Let's
sense. Oh.
go right out. Why don't you and I get into real trouble next time
We will.
and talk about the grand conspiracies?
Okay.
Because when I defend myself, they go, "Oh, Andy, you fucking, you believe every conspiracy." I said, "No, I don't. I don't believe. I entertain my stepfather, my grandfather, and the two eldest boys in my biological father's family were all Masons. Now, Colin, my biological father, he didn't become a Mason. Well, no, he did, as far as I know. He took the oath. But he wasn't a practicing. It was a way of, it was networking in those
That's what I
days,
did.
right?
That's what
It's
actually,
network.
I still technically, I guess I
Yeah.
am. Like, I'm still
Yeah.
calling it Catholic too. I guess I don't know when it's baptized. You know what I mean? You like, you did the work, but you're done.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, it's like all levels. As it gets up in the pyramid, the stuff on the top three levels, they know stuff that the bottom, the middle, and the bottom don't ever know about. And the way that they can keep lodges at the ground level, and Bert, my stepfather, I'll leave you with this. It's just a personal thing. He married my mother, and gave her the happiest years of her life. Now, he was a Mason. He gave up his masonry. He went to the lodge and said, "Look, I can't. I'm marrying a Roman Catholic. She's going to get excommunicated because she's marrying a
Oh,
Mason." And they've petitioned for that. It took years, and they annulled the marriage and they excommunicated her. So that he left the lodge because he took an oath for the rest of his life. So that was. That's enshrined, right? So he was a
yeah.
Mason till the day he died, but he didn't practice. And he was given leave not to. Because, as he said, he got into the lodge when he was a very young man because of the wonderful work they did within the community.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And that's why the ground level of masonry, right up to probably the middle, works, because it's about goodness. It's like the Salvation Army.
Exactly.
They're there to help people. They
We were
network, they
helping,
help it.
yeah, we help families every year at breakfasts. We would help the families. I love that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where the practice of it, but getting back to the corruption of power, and that wonderful old saying, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And as you get closer to the top, and that's where you get these stories about the Illuminati and all that kind of stuff. Now, that may be true, or it may be, again, just another way of distracting us from the real purpose.
Well, there's something going on. I don't know what it's called, but there's other stuff going on.
There's a lot of, yeah. I mean, and I think some people now are starting to wake up that it's kind of like history. I don't know what your view is on history. You know how they say there's some people on Google Tube that say our history is false. So people have said, well, which bit? And they go, all of it. Food for a thought. Subject for another day, Sean.
Yeah, sure. And I'll say this: societies, if it's a real secret society, I think the real ones out there, we don't know about them. That means they're successful. The Illuminati,
Bingo.
not that they're successful. Masons, they're out there. They're advertising on commercials, not what you're thinking. The ones that we don't know about, I mean, maybe the Bilderbergers and stuff like that. You start getting the politicians, but for the most part, you don't know what's going on because that's how good they are. That's what it goes down to. Period.
Yeah.
And by the way, people that are listening, Angry actually does music sometimes. He's got a band and they sing songs and he's going to be on
Yeah, all that
tour.
stuff. Well,
And he can
actually,
still deliver vocally. That's the thing. I mean, there's a certain point where you're seeing singers can't
well,
deliver anymore. And it's like,
let's.
you don't want to take it away from them, but it's also got to be hard to not be your best that you always were anymore.
Yeah, well, hopefully, going back to the start of the conversation, let's watch this page. Let's just wait and see, because very soon it's going to be the test. I mean,
I'm just glad you're okay.
thank you, Sean.
I got the
Thank you.
records. I'm just glad you're okay. Like if you didn't sing
Thank
professionally again, I'd be just happy just to talk to you about history. You know what I
you.
mean?
Well, we'll do that
But
anyway.
it's totally different with you. It's not even the same
Oh,
talking to
oh, oh.
people. It's different with you.
Oh, sorry, mate. Because we talked before about Napoleon, which is a fantastic movie, folks. If you haven't seen it, go and see it.
No Hollywood ending though. It's actually like real life. There isn't a Hollywood ending. So don't be expecting some kind of glamorous tie up loose ends. It's history. They're literally, it's history. And it's shot
Yeah,
beautifully.
that's what happened. And
Right.
I love Harkin. However you pronounce that word, I
Yeah.
don't know, but I mean, fuck, you know, he's like a handful of actors that just over the years I've just sat back and just fucking gone, how good are these guys? Like, and they are big Hollywood actors. They're right up there, but they're not your De Niro's and your fucking, you know, all those kind of people. But anyway, getting back to, I'll leave you with this. One of the actors who is one of your biggest Hollywood actors, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's called Something Something Moons, and talking about the occupation of Indians' land, or American
Oh yeah.
indigenous
I saw
land.
that. I saw that.
DiCaprio's movie.
DiCaprio's in it. I saw that. That's a good movie. It's sad. It's
Oh!
really good. So you saw it too. See what I'm saying?
Oh!
We could be going to matinees together if we were closer.
Well, there's still time.
We would be movie buddies doing it. I know what I'm
There
saying.
was still time.
I know.
I
FaceTime, we'll have
just
our
I
little
gotta
cameras with us.
just gotta save up enough fucking money to get over there. Our visas to
Know.
get. We've had
Right?
over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had two tours booked on paper, and we just can't afford the costs. And neither can anyone there, because you know they're just club tours.
You would need
But
somebody like a big act like a Guns N' Roses to foot the bill to make it worth your while financially. NBN would. You'd need a bigger support act to bring another country over. Another, that's just the reality of money.
It's getting that way. Like we didn't tour Europe last year, and we're not touring Europe this year. And if things go the way they're going, then they're only going to get worse. We won't tour again next year either.
I
And
know.
that's tragic. I mean, because like we've got this history. I mean, we've got a history with America. I mean, it's been a long time, but we still have this history. And it's kind of like I said, everything's the end is in sight. So it's a foregone conclusion. And it's kind of like I'd just like to tie a ribbon around that. Just go back one more time to say thank you for that support to America. Like
Got to get
this
you over on an
is
airplane where you guys are sitting on crates of chickens and stuff. Just something to kind of slide you in. Like some Indiana Jones thing where you're flying in and no one knows. Drop you off.
our new guitar player, Ronnie Simmons, who's over there at the moment, I think he's back playing with the Pussycat.
I think he is too, yeah, because I talked to a lot of those guys, all right?
He'll be back soon. But yeah, we were sitting, he and I and Mick, our slide player, we were sitting here some weeks before Christmas, just going over the tune, like some of the tunes that we're selecting to work on, right? The stronger musical structures, and just bouncing them into shape, so we think that's a strong enough structure now. I can work on that lyrically to try and
Yeah.
build a song out of it. And we were just joking that maybe we should get one of those big inflatables and get dropped off out at sea and just fucking, like arrive in Mexico and just walk across the border, like
You don't even catch on to it for a while.
you get housing, get a fucking phone, get a laptop, get a fucking pension, fucking whatever, and just then all of a sudden realize that we're a rock and roll band.
You gotta get
Mate,
across
it's
somehow,
Sean, it's always a delight, mate. Thank you so much for
Thank you.
tolerating my
No, it's
absurdity.
I love it. You're
And
the only person I not talk about music with on my show. You're the
well, I was saying to I don't know who I was saying to. I said, but we talked about like in those first couple of episodes, a lot about the earliest or my earliest influences. And when you said before about, and this is what Richard, going back to what Richard said, he said, look, we should do something. He said, I should do something. He was saying we should do something for at least a couple of years, but go back to those roots.
I think it'd be awesome.
And yeah, that when we talked in those early episodes between you and I about those early influences, the basses type band that we talked about, that's what I've talked about with Richard and a few others. And yeah, it just to sort of like a tips me hat to the contribution that the Motown music made, and the blues singers, and that made to me, that's what got me started.
Right.
And I'll leave you with this. I saw a documentary over the whole getting up to the holiday period. My son signed me up to a new movie thing. I think it was Disney, and I saw this fantastic documentary. You'd be aware of it. It was the other Woodstock.
Okay, yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
It was like
I thought you were going to
most.
say George Harrison's one. I thought you were going to say the George Harrison one, because that was a good one too.
Oh no, cried all the way through that. But having said that, it was held over a couple of days. It was in the park. They documented it, and it was all Tumbler Motown type bands. Can you what's the name of it? Can you name?
I don't remember the name of
No.
it.
I'll be able to look it up. But
Yeah,
I
I'll,
want
yeah.
this that I want there's two things. I want to have it. I want to see it again and again. It was just one of the most amazing musical experiences. I sat there watching this thing and just was, I was in tears. The music was so fucking amazing. And but yeah, there must be a way of getting the sound. I'll watch it again just to go through the credits, but there must be a soundtrack.
It's gotta be. I'll have to look it up after we get done
Well,
talking. I'll look it up. I'll
thanks,
see
mate. Thank
if I
you.
can figure out. Yeah.
But
I think, I thank you for your time, man.
every act, every single act that was on that doco was extraordinary.
Yeah,
Fucking
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna look
amazing.
up and watch it. I love, and that's what I'm saying. That's actually kind of goes back to with us, these discussions. It's not
Yeah.
about the same stupid questions, well, for some, I'm not the pedestrian questions. Like, I can Google anything about, the
Well,
cats, whatever. But yeah, I
I
want to
just
talk with you. It's about, like I'm saying, it's where you, the human, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? You already answered the questions. Why ask it again? Cares? You know what I mean? What
Yeah.
you're thinking is so important in who you are in humans. And it's just a way that people, God, we talked about cancer and getting checked. So now somebody who loves your music can be like, you know what? Angry Anderson, he has the same problems, fatigue, he's around the gym. Like, he's like a human being. Like when you make things digestible for people,
Yeah.
it's so important. It's such a message that you might walk away. Someone, one person goes away and gets checked from this. We won.
God, I hope so, mate.
Could you imagine that?
I hope
One
so.
person gets saved
Oh,
by this, by that talk. You win at life. So that's
yeah.
what's important. It's not about anything else, and that's why these talks that we have about everything are so much more than my normal talks. You know what I mean? That's why it's like it's medicine to me. Like, and I always walk away and feel 10 feet tall. So I feel bad. I'm like, hey, cat. I goes angry around. I talk to him again. He's like, she's like, I don't know, Sean. I think he's not feeling good. He's high. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm waiting for a restraining order from her. Poor cat.
Don't you dare!
Oh
Don't
my
you
God.
dare! Anyway, when
It's awesome talking.
injustice
Yep.
becomes law, resistance becomes duty. We, brothers and sisters, we must resist. They can't be allowed to get away with this obscenity, this war on us, our humanity. Because that's what they're trying to get rid of, Sean, and you and I know that. They're trying to destroy our humanity. They're trying to make us into something less than God intended or the creational process intended. The creational process intended us to be, we can struggle with these things, we can get it wrong as many times as you like, but the humanity, the fact that we are not programmable, we are
Yeah.
not controllable. Like, we'll obey when we think it's right, but we're not doing it out of fear and blind obedience. We're doing it because we love one another and we're decent human beings. And the greatest station that anyone can aspire to is to be just that. We know that is just be a decent human being. Anyway, until next time, lovely brother. Talk to you soon, yeah? Love to
Let
your
me know.
family.
Thank you. Thank you.